to get it into Thornhill.
Get the shot up.
To get it to Engjoff.
This is the play you've been drilling in all those times in practice.
Thornhill over to Engjoff. Damos Den. Just throws it off for the championship. Yeah! 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 His teammates mob the court. Yeah!
That nobody believed in, bro. That's a fact. We are the team that Coach Rose was ranked last. They didn't respect us. There's 27 teams in this country, and we were ranked last. Tells everybody on every play, go with your pet. Because today we come in hard. We shouldn't be thankful to be here. We shouldn't be thankful that we're here. We shouldn't be on bended knee.
Hey, yo, they're sleeping on us. Quiet down, they're still sleeping on us. Hey, how we doing, baby?
Gators!
Finish on top of this. One play at a time.
Hey, finish up on three. One, two, three. Finish up!
Touchdown, Gators!
Coming to you live-ish from the beautiful rolling hills of the Eastern Townships. You've tuned in to 88.9 CJMQ. I'm your host, Matt McRae, and welcome to the show. We've got a wonderful Wednesday edition for you as we take a closer look at Major League Baseball and their plan to resume play this summer. The National Hockey League and the NBA both trying to get their plans to get playoffs underway in their hub cities respectively. Jonathan Toews makes waves with a very heartfelt and poignant post on social media. Alexis Lafreniere projected number one overall pick. We look at the Sherbrooke Phoenix, the NHL draft coming up in Montreal, and the new NHL draft lottery system. The NBA votes this Thursday, another phase in the phaseless summer of COVID-19. The F1 announced a new calendar with 8 races taking place over the summer. Bishop's University provides some COVID updates. And in the second half of the show, we got no fists, just Chris. We got Chris Smith, very special in-studio guest, where we take a look at the SPN-provided rules of softball. Will we get to play softball in the townships this summer? There's a long list of things that were announced on May 11th, examining just the procedures we are going to have to follow if we are going to play softball. Will there be ball? Will there not be ball? We will find out. But before that, we need to get to our first segment, which is First and 10.
With a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet.
And welcome back to the show. Without further ado, we are going to jump right into the first segment, which is titled First and 10. First up on the docket, we are going to talk about Major League Baseball players and owners, millionaires versus billionaires. Who is going to crack first? One is projecting the players primarily 114 game, prorated salary. On top of that, the owners only want 50 to 60 games, maybe 82 games. They cannot seem to agree on a lot of things. So Major League Baseball is the biggest thing struggling to get along. NHL and NBA seem to have talks in between the players and the owners, seem to be a lot closer. MLB, they seem to be much further apart. A lot of talk is still going back and forth. Again, this prorated salary, that is the magic word. Everybody's talking about prorated salary. They want to know how much they're going to get paid. It's a kerfuffle. Kerfuffle is the best way to describe it. Major League Baseball further than ever. Number two to the NHL now. There's a bit of a buzz that's starting to happen on the streets. Is this going to happen? Montreal Canadiens versus Pittsburgh Penguins. Is this going to happen? The playoffs are shaping up. I personally, it's hard to believe that it is going to happen. It is going to occur, but progress is being made. They're talking about these hub cities. Whether it's important, it's on Canadian soil. We will get to a little later on in this very segment. Is this a reset? What are Montreal's chances? Montreal, are they going to be very healthy? Of course, they struggled, had a couple of bad 8-game losing streaks. Well, that's virtually erased. The fact that they were missing the playoffs, that's done. They're making the playoffs. You never know, I guess, if this is going to happen. Again, long-term plans here in this new COVID pandemic era. Nothing is long-term. Fingers are starting to get crossed. There's a bit of a buzz. We're not going to get to see games at the Bell Center. Everything is going to be on the road. But believe me, once you get the music and even without fans in the stands, I think hockey might be a good thing. Sticking to hockey to number three now, Jonathan Toews has been in the news. All of the riots and protests going on starting in Minneapolis. Of course, the terrible death of George Floyd at the hands of the police force. So Jonathan Toews aka Captain Sirius, captain of the Chicago Blackhawks, took to social media, posting a video with a discussion between a couple of very young men. It's very inspirational, and Taves just really getting a lot of attention with the post. I'll read it for you. A lot of people may claim these riots and acts of destruction are a terrible response. I'll be the first to admit that as a white male, that was also my first reaction. But who am I to tell someone that their pain is not real, especially when it's at a boiling point and impossible to hold in anymore? It's obvious it's coming from a place of truth. This reaction isn't coming out of thin air. I'm not condoning or approving the looting. But are we really going to sit here and say that peaceful protesting is the only answer? There's been plenty of time for that, and if it was the answer, we would have given it our full attention long ago. Listen to these two men debate. They are lost. They are in pain. They strive for a better future, but as they get older, they realize their efforts may be futile. They don't know the answer or how to solve the problem for the next generation of black women and men. This breaks my heart. So again, it's Jonathan Taves on social media, hashtag Black Lives Matter, getting a lot of attention and support. A lot of celebrities have been coming out in support of what is going on. This is still a breaking news story, and we'll just move on from there. Hearts and prayers go out to everybody affected by this tragedy. Back to sports. Number four, Alexis Lafreniere is projected still number one overall in the NHL draft. Of course, he was supposed to be coming to Sherbrooke right before the lockdown hit, but he solidified his status as the number one overall pick, hands down. He put up 35 goals and 77 assists for 112 points in 55 games with the Rimouski Oceanic this season. He won the league scoring title. He also played for Team Canada at the World Juniors, notching 4 goals and 6 assists for 10 points in just 5 games, leading the team to the gold medal, also winning the tournament MVP. Last year, he was viewed as a prodigy, putting up 37 goals and 105 points in just 61 games, so he was even better in the 2019 QMJHL playoffs with 9 goals and 23 points in only 13 games. He got the tournament MVP and the CHL Player of the Year award. So he is projected number all overall in the draft, which brings us to number 5. The NHL draft is taking place in Montreal. It's going to be very, very different, but there are 7 teams that are focusing solely on the 2020 NHL draft. The league's return to play format ended the season's 7 worst teams based on points percentage, which in turn set their odds for the June 26th draft lottery. The Detroit Red Wings carry the best odds for number one position and land the top pick, while the Senators have 2 opportunities to earn the number one selection as they own the San Jose Sharks first round pick. There's also the LA Kings, Anaheim Ducks, New Jersey Devils, and Buffalo Sabres, which have more than a 6% chance to win the lottery, which may be held in 2 phases. So there's 1 draw, which will feature the 7 eliminated teams and 8 placeholder positions representing the teams knocked out during the qualifying round of the postseason. One of the top 3 picks lands with one of the placeholder spots, and a second lottery will be held after the qualifying round to determine which of those 8 teams will earn that number one position. So the Red Wings at 18.5%, Senators at 13.5%, Senators via San Jose 11.5%, so they got a 25% chance total adding those together. The Kings at 9.5%, Ducks at 8.5%, New Jersey at 7.5%, Buffalo Sabres at 6.5%, and then the aforementioned knocked out teams at 6.5%, 3.5%, and thus decreasing. I mean, seems clear, right? Anyways, we will see if this happens. Fingers crossed, I guess, but again, phase 1, phase 2. We're in the planning, so that is a good thing. To number 6. To a good Sherbrooke boy, defending Stanley Cup champion David Perron was in the news. He was a guest of Martin Lemay on the podcast Angels on Monday. Perron said, and I quote, "I was surprised by the reaction of the media who said hockey was going to be back. It's not really the case," St. Louis Blues forward said. Perron confirmed that he had voted in favor of the 2014 playoff format proposed by the NHL, even if several aspects did not particularly appeal to him. For him, there are still many obstacles before the NHL is back on the ice. And I quote, "There are a lot of things I don't like. I'm going to hurt the Canadiens fans, but I see it more with 16 teams. This is how I grew up, and this is how I like it. To have the chance to participate in the playoffs, you have to deserve it," said Perron, being very honest with his opinions. Hey, good Sherbrooke boy. On Monday, June 1st, he sat down. "It's nice to hear a player's opinion, especially a guy locally around here, how he feels. So will there be NHL playoffs? We don't know." But moving on to number 7, they're talking about, should it be held on Canadian soil? Canadians making a bit of a big deal of this, saying that a Canadian team needs to have a Canadian city to defend the Stanley Cup. Who cares? We can do it. We can win the cup if it's in a hub city, if we're down in wherever they want it, Dallas or in California or in Florida somewhere. I think Florida is a good prospective option. It seems to be the place where sports are taking haven to take place, what with the UFC and the NBA seriously looking at both options. I still don't know if it's going to take place. We have to be patient. Short-term goals, phase 1, phase 2. Hey, at least we have the groundwork and the framework for and a skeleton for possibilities of returning to play. So that is good news. To number 8. Speaking of the NBA, they are going to vote this Thursday. It is a big day for the NBA. They are coming together. There is momentum gaining for Commissioner Adam Silver's 22-team proposal. This vote is held Thursday, and the league could resume action by the end of July. This is nearly 3 months after the NBA suspended its season due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It appears that the league is one step closer to returning to play. It's no longer a matter of if or when the NBA will be back. The answer is a surefire yes. Now all that is left is the very important logistics featuring keeping everyone safe in a campus-like environment at Disney World in Orlando. Now they have to figure out how. They're getting closer again, similar to the NHL. The framework is in place. They've got plans. Will those plans continue? Fingers crossed. To number 9, we go to F1 now. The F1 has a new calendar for the 2020 season, announced earlier this week, delayed by the coronavirus pandemic. It'll start on July 5th in Austria, and that will be the first of 8 races that will all take place in Europe between July and September, initially behind closed doors. The Montreal event currently does not appear there yet. So we will see. They're going to be going July 12th, Red Bull Ring at Spielberg before Hungary. Great Britain is also on the docket. They've got Barcelona, Belgium, Italy. Montreal is waiting. We will see how these races go. But again, it is an 8 race calendar. Number 10. We stick to some local news as Bishop's University has been keeping us up to date with what is going on in the townships. Michael Goldblum has been in communication with the students. They posted a new coronavirus notification on June 1st. Residence availability update. The COVID-19 pandemic has endangered a situation that none of us has experienced, leaving us trying to navigate uncharted waters. Throughout the situation, our mandate has been to maintain the health and safety of our community. Thus, in order to fill this mandate, the university is offering single rooms on campus this fall. As such, our residence capacity has been reduced, and the university is no longer able to guarantee campus housing for any application received after June 1st, 2020. He thanks us for our patience, understanding during unprecedented times. Then there was another update on May 28th from Principal Goldblum as well. They had put out back in May, they asked students for their opinion, and I quote, "We started considering how to plan our fall semester. We wanted to make sure we heard from you, our students. Many of you have shared with us your concerns and preferences about how best to proceed in the fall. I am pleased to report that 1,983 students responded in the survey that they sent out concerning their expectations and intentions for next fall. So the vast majority of them hope that they would hold in-person classes, and most of them would prefer a hybrid model of in-person and online teaching. By mid-July at the latest, details how they operate by this fall will be announced. Canadian universities have announced they'll offer their courses in fall primarily through remote delivery platforms, but that is not Bishop's preferred approach. So they're going to look into it. Again, the COVID-19 situation in Sherbrooke and the Eastern Townships is under control. There's very limited spread of the virus, and the healthcare institutions have ample capacity, and there are sufficient numbers of healthcare workers. Their average class size of 36 students would allow them to hold some classes in person while respecting public health guidelines, and they can provide at least 420 single occupancy rooms with semi-private bathrooms in their residence. So the health and safety of the community will remain their highest priority, and they recognize that until a vaccine is developed and massive inoculation program instituted, there is no zero risk scenario for in-person education. So it does go on. If you want to check that out, it is at ubishops.ca. You can find the links there for the latest COVID-19 updates. That is from Principal Goldblum. Just for keeping our students up to date, it looks like it may be a hybrid model of online classes, in-person classes. We've got the luxury of space that a lot of people don't have, so fingers crossed on that. And there you have it. That is First and 10 here on this lovely Wednesday morning here in the Eastern Townships. Coming up, we've got a titanium take of the townships. We got Dingo's flashback track, and we got a very special in-studio guest, Chris Smith, returns. No flips, just Chris. This time, a little less UFC, a little less WWE. We talk about the newest SPN recommendations for softball. Is there going to be softball at our local ball fields around here in the townships? We shall see. They have put out guidelines. Again, we've got phases. We've got recommendation. No spitting. I kid you not. No spitting. No high fives. Big separation. It's all very serious and all the guidelines. Chris and I will discuss that here. A nice little 4 segment for you with a returning in-studio guest. A big thank you to Chris for joining us. You're listening to 88.9 CJMQ, your home for sports talk in the Eastern Townships. I'm your host, Matt McRae, and you are listening to The Show.
Who paint off wish I was in Sherbrooke now.
I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose. Fire away, fire away. Ricochet, you take your aim. Fire away.
For today's titanium take of the townships, you all know I like to have fun, provide my opinion. It's mostly for jest. Sometimes we have serious topics here. I would be remiss to not be addressing what is going on, the protests and the riots and the Black Lives Matter movement that is currently going on in the United States. We spoke on yesterday's show. Numerous celebrities have came out and voiced their opinion and their support for victims, protesters who want to protest peacefully, and then there are riots that are ensuing. Well, Tiger Woods joins the conversation as athletes continue to speak out. So we've heard from Raptors GM Masai Ujiri. He stresses the need to talk about race amid protests. Michael Jordan came out, which, I mean, he's always been notoriously quiet, so maybe this Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, has shaken something loose, and he's going to be more of a public persona. We talked about Jonathan Toews earlier as well, with his amazing social media posting. Well, Tiger Woods took to Twitter on Monday to speak out for the first time since George Floyd's death. Well, I'll read the tweet, and I quote, "My heart goes out to George Floyd, his loved ones, and all of us who are hurting right now. I have always had the utmost respect for our law enforcement. They train so diligently to understand how, when, and where to use force. This shocking tragedy clearly crossed that line. I remember the LA riots and learned that education is the best path forward. We can make our points without burning the very neighborhoods that we live in. I hope that through constructive, honest conversations, we can build a safer, unified society." End quote. I mean, good for Tiger Woods, bringing up the riots in Los Angeles, of course, being one of the most famous athletes on the planet. His voice and Michael Jordan's voice are even louder than most. Continued support pours out from celebrities and people all over the globe. From a sportscaster here in the Eastern Townships, I mean, it's affected us close to home. You could see on Sunday that there were riots going on from a protest afterwards, some looting going on as close as Montreal. So it is not just down south of the border, folks. It's not just a North American issue. It's an entire issue that is finally coming to the surface. So it's a high developing story. It's a very volatile situation. Something needs to be done. Something is going to be done, finally, from the looks of it. The answers are not clear. What I do want to stress is the importance of this, but also the importance of COVID-19 and the pandemic going on. So with these peaceful protests, I mean, people are wearing masks, so police officers are at an all-time high. Tensions are at an all-time high. Just be patient. We are all in this together, folks. Social distancing is still a real thing. People have gotten a lot looser with the pandemic and social distancing as well. Let's just be very patient. Let's all think clearly. Make our opinions known and our support known where we can. But as human beings, this is a most important time than ever. So again, I've taken this titanium take of the townships to poke fun at the GM of the Montreal Canadiens or, you know, people not putting their dog on a leash. I mean, these are all very important things to me, in my opinion, but it's nowhere near as close as too important. What's going on in the States right now is too important for it not to be addressed. So again, you may not want to hear my opinion on it, and it is what it is, and it is my opinion. But I think we're at a very pivotal time. 2020 has been a very rough year, and that is putting it very mildly. So you know what? I'm on team love, on team human race, compassion, kindness. So it's a very sad time. Social media is dominated by all kinds of news stories. Some true, some not, some fake. Let's just take our times, keep our heads, keep our patience, and more importantly, let's keep a love for one another here. Stretching as close as here in the Eastern Townships, from the Massawippi to the Tamophobia, to Alberta, to BC, down to Texas, to California, all the way around the world. This is, it's a very important time, and we're all in this together. We need to stick together, and we'll beat all of these problems and these obstacles as they come forward, but that's it. Just hit my music.
I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose.
I was in Sherbrooke now.